This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening. Welcome to Parsha Shir, Parsha's Truma. Three fabulous ideas. If you email me, I'll send you the handout for those listening online, j.golker@gmail.com. The first idea is from the beginning of the Parsha. Let's take a look at the first box. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yikchu li Truma. The famous opening psukim of this week's Sedra. Take for me Truma, may eis kol ish ashe yidvenu libo tikchu es Trumosi. Now, the pasuk carries on. These are the donations that Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking for. Zohav, Kesef, Nechoshes, etc. Gold, silver, copper. Utcheles v'argomim v'tehila ashonim v'sheish v'izim. V'iris elim v'iris tzichoshim v'atzei shittim. The famous atzei shittim. Shittim wood, whatever that is exactly. Acacia wood, cedar wood, whatever it happens to be. Now, Rashi says atzei shittim. Says Rashi, how did Klal Yisrael in the Midbar have this particular wood? Me'ein hoyu lohem ba'midbar. Pirish Rabbi Tanchuma. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Yaakov Avinu tzipa beruach hakodesh. Yaakov Avinu saw beruach hakodesh many centuries earlier. Sha'asid in Yisrael livnais mishkon ba'midbar. That there will come a day where Klal Yisrael will build a mishkon in the Midbar. Ve'hevi arozim le'mitzrayim. And therefore he brought with him from Eretz Yisrael saplings or cedars from Eretz Yisrael down to Mitzrayim. He planted them there. For Tzivah Labonov Litlam Imohim, and he commanded his children to take them with them when they would leave Mitzrayim. Kashayotzim Mitzrayim, good, well known Rashi. I saw a question, a very interesting observation in the Sefer called the Tal Le'Oris, a lovely Sefer. Quoting the Chidush Harim, the Talioris is a Likut. He quotes lots of different people, and he quotes the Admar from Gur, the first Ger Rebbe, the Chidush Harim, to answer a question of the Taz. Let's take a look inside the second box. Hiksha HaTaz. Now the Taz was one of the great Mefarshim of the Shulchan Aruch. You can't get Smicha without learning the Taz. The Taz and the Shach are the two primary commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch and on the Ramah in Yeridaya. One of the four Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Taz also wrote a Sefer on Chumash called the Divrei David. So, Hiksha HaTaz B'Sefer Divrei David, Omru Chazal. Listen to this question. Ki hoyu b'nei Yisrael shebamid b'koinim ha'cholim mitzigri umsa'ilam. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hei on the base says, that Klal Yisrael did and were able to buy food from locals, from local residents as they were traveling through the Midbar. Says the Taz, V'im Kain, Efshe Shagam Etzatze HaShittim, Konu Ba'artis HaChiris. So why the trouble to have to take down Arozim, Cedar, to Mitzrayim, by Yaakovinu, plant them there, instruct his children centuries later, when they eventually leave Mitzrayim, to take the cedars with them, to schlep them through the Midbar for the months until the Mishkan was being built? Why couldn't you just buy it from locals? Either didn't buy from locals, they did buy from locals. The Gemara in Yuma said that they would buy food from locals if they wanted to. So why couldn't they just buy wood from locals? Now, there are different answers given to that question. But look at this answer. I thought this is a particularly interesting answer. One of the answers that the Chiddush Rim gives is this, in the next paragraph. Ha'admar ha'zokein migur, the first Ger Rebbe says, Letaretz, Trumas ha'mishkon tzricha liyos lishma. One of the underlying themes of this week's Sedra is that the Mishkan has to be built lishma. As Rashi says in the very first pasuk, Kemesha Kosov Rashi al pasuk v'yikchuli truma, ki li muvona lishmi, li lishmi, Rashi says. V'chozo Rashi appears kein al pasuk, and then a few psukim later, Rashi says, v'osu li migdash, says Rashi, v'osu lishmi beis kedusha. Do it lishma, do it for my name, not for any ulterior motive. Says the Chiddush Arim, to answer the question of the Taz, Me'acha v'kach, ein efsharas liknes hiswa'arozi min ha'goyim. Therefore, you can't just buy it from non-Jewish people. Because they need to be planted lishma. There needs to be an aspect of lishma about it. And therefore, to buy your food, which makolet you get them pints of milk from, the liter of milk, not the end of the world. But where you get your products, the things needed for the Mishkan, that wasn't good enough just to buy it off the shelf. they needed to plant them to do the whole process, lishma. It's very much like the Gemara in Bava Metzia with Reb Chiya. And the Gemara says in Bava Metzia that one time the transmission process was faltering. So the Gemara says that Reb Chiya went out and he planted flax. And from that flax, he harvested the flax and he made nets. And with the nets, he trapped some deer. And with the deer, he shechted the deer, gave the meat to the aniyim. And then with the skin of the deer, he made klafim, he made parchment. He wrote Chamisha Chumshei Teira, he taught a sefer to each different Talmud. And that sort of, you know, began the transmission process afresh, as it were. Like a pyramid process. That's what the Gemara Bava Metzia Pei Hei Amud Beis, I think, says. Asks everyone, why go to the trouble? Go to the local Ryman, Amazon, wherever, and buy parchment. Why did he have to plant flaxseed to harvest the flax, to make nets, to trap the animals, to shech them, to take the skin, etc., etc.? It's a long story. Teretz is, if you are initiating a new process, the very roots, the foundations, have to be done, b'kedusha v'tahara. And Reb Chiya knew that. This is a new stage in Klal Yisrael's transmission, and therefore the foundations have to be lishma. And that's exactly what's going on over here. Yaakov Avinu sowed, he planted the flax, the cedar wood, because the roots, the foundations, have to be done with the highest of intentions. Okay. Now, there's another piece in the Shame, in the Talei Oris. He quotes the Shem Yishmol. Very, very interesting insight. Omer B'chanina. Look at the paragraph 2. This is quoting a Medrash Rabbah in this week's Edra. Omer B'chanina, Lohoya ha'olam roi lishtamish ba'arozim, that the world doesn't need arozim, ela b'shvil ha'mishkon b'shvil beis ha'migdash. The whole purpose, the whole need for there to be arozim in this world is for the beis ha'migdash, for the mishkon and for the beis ha'migdash. Now it's one of those sort of cryptic midrashim. What exactly does the medrash mean? Ma kol kach miyuchad, this is his sort of summary of the Shem Yishmol, the Sokach of Rebbe. Ma kol kach miyuchad be'etz ho'eres. What is so special about the cedar wood? Ad shechazal rod soirech letzion, the Chazal felt a need to observe. Ki lo hoyu ru'uyim nishtamish boi ele lebnias ha'mishkon be'etz ha'migdash. That it was that its main function, its main purpose, is for the Beis Hamikdash and for the Mishkan. Amru Chazal. So famously, the Gemara says in Tanis Daf Chof Amud Beis, La'olam yehi adam rach kekone. A person should be as soft, as supple, as bending and flexible as a reed. Va'al yekosha ke'erez, and he shouldn't be tough like a cedar wood. Zu'efe kavonis medrash midazu shekosha ke'erez. Perhaps this is the intention of the medrash when it comes to kosha ke'erez. That a person should not use this middah of being sort of stubborn and an action. Only in one area, when it comes to matters spiritual, you need a certain tenacity, a certain stubbornness to get you going. You know, I was in New York for a few days just now. I've got a son learning there, so I just literally came back today. So yesterday in New York, there was a very serious snowstorm. So we were there, Monday was beautiful weather, it was cold, but it was beautiful weather. Sunday morning, they forecasted in Taki was quite a heavy snowstorm. So many of the schools were shut. But the yeshivas and the Jewish schools, to the extent that they could, they tried to keep going. Now, you need a certain tenacity. To, you know, snow days, you know, they call it, what's it called, the snowflake generation? But you need a certain azus, a certain tenacity to keep the yeshiva open. That's what it's saying. That when it comes to kosher ke'eres, when do you need this midah? You need this midah b'shvil ha'mishkon beis ha'migdosh. Tchunos, next paragraph. Ha'ifanis shel ha'eres hi kushyosoi. This is exactly the point. Omer b'gemara. Atzei shittim oimdim. The Gemara says in Yuma that the atzei shittim are standing. She'oimdim le'ol me'olam. They stand forever. What's the benefit of that? Why do you need them? Why do you need such a longevity for these cedar woods? Ela l'ramiz. Rather, it's alluding to a different point. It's referring to the kosher keres, the toughness of the eres. Avur ha-mishkan, which was used for the mishkan. She'en yonai hu hashroas ha-shechina b'toch Yisrael, which was ultimately going to bring the shechina into the Jewish world. That a person has got to try and embed that in his very soul. That's what a person needs. A person needs that tenacity, that stubbornness, that focus, that drive in areas of ruchnius, and that's really what the Mishnah, the Medrash means. The purpose of Arozim is for the Mishkan and for the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? The middah of Arozim. That a person should be kosher k'erez, a person should be strong and stubborn and focused when it comes to matters of Mishkan, Beis HaMikdash, i.e. matters of ruchnius. Very beautiful insights. Now, let's move on to a third and final piece, which is the main section of what I want to discuss this evening. Something very, very interesting. Let's take a look at the psukim in the bottom of paragraph 3. Va'asu aroin atzei shittim. So we're going through the various items of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan. Va'asu aroin atzei shittim. They made the aron HaKodesh out of this atzei shittim. Amasayim v'chetzi orkei v'amu v'chetzi rochwe v'amu v'chetzi kemosoi. 2.5 by 1.5 by 1.5. So about pretty much the size of this bimah, give or take. 2.5 by 1.5 and 1.5 tall. Fine. When I was there, just by the way, so I had a few days there, so I went yesterday to, there's a fabulous museum in Borough Park called the Living Torah Museum. If you're ever in New York, it's kedai to do it. His name is Rabbi Shimon Deutsch. He's a chosh of Talmud Chacham. He's written many, many svarim. Rabbi Greenberg told me to go to this museum. He was once talking many years ago, and he said, when you're next there, go check out this museum. He was there, Rabbi Greenberg, he told me to go check it out. It's worth it. No, you can only go, you can't, it's not open, you've got to call the guy, you've got to make an appointment, and it's worth every second. And he's got coins from the times of Chazal, artifacts from Chazal, fascinating. Why do I mention that? Because he's the one, I don't know if you've seen it, they gave it out in Ovos Habonim some years ago, you have a tape measure, but instead of saying inches or centimeters or whatever, it's in Amos, right? Amos and Tfachim. So I said to him, so you go to Chaznish, you go to Chaim Noah. So he said, here, come take a look. He opens up the thing. On one side, he's got the Chaznish Shirim. And on the other side, he's got Chaim Noah. Right? So he says, say we're talking about Paro. So he shows, the Queen of Samadroshim, Paro was an Amahai. So Queen of Chaznish, he was like that. And Queen of Chaim Noah, he was like that. That's what he said. It's just fascinating. It's just loads of very, very interesting things. Anyway, that's what made me think of him yesterday. Anyway, let's carry on. Yud Aleph. And you should cover the aron with gold. You make the kaparis, which is the lid of the aron. Fine. So you've got the kruvim. So imagine this is the aron HaKodesh. You've got one kruv over here, one kruv over there. What is a kruv? A cherub? It's sort of this childlike angel that is fixed on, well, it's not fixed on, it was part of the metal, it's part of the gold, which is part of the Aron HaKodesh. Va'asei kruv echod mikotzim izeh, kruv echod mikotzim izeh, min ha-kaperis, etc. Next pasuk chof, v'ayu ha-kruvim persei chnofayim lemalo, their wings are spread out, ala kaperis, v'pneim ish el achiv, and they're facing each other. Now, that's the important point. Ish el achiv. You take a look at the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, the bottom of the sheet, kanfei ha-kruvim ha-ele persim amas esrim, v'heim oimdim al-raglehem ufnehem labayas. They were facing not each other, but they were facing the walls of the Mishkan. So isn't that a contradiction between the Pasuk in this week's Sedra and the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim? Where were they facing? Were they facing ish el-achiv each other, or were the kruvim facing away from each other? So that is picked up on in a Gemara in Baba Basra. Take a look at the top of the next page. The Gemara in Baba Basra says, on Daf Samid Sadi Tes, Omad Aleph, Kate Sad Hein Oimdim. So the Gemara asks the question, how did the Kruvim stand? Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lozo, Chad Oma Pneim Ish El Achiv, one says they were facing each other, V'chad Oma Pneim Nebayas, and one says they were facing the wall. Says the Gemara, Uleman Da Oma Pneim Ish El Achiv, according to the man Dom who says that they were facing each other, Hoksiv Pneim Nebayas, our question, surely the Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim they were facing the house, the wall. Leikasha, not a problem. Kan bizman she Yisrael oisin ritzon shel makom. Kan bizman she ein Yisrael oisin ritzon shel makom. In other words, when Klal Yisrael were doing the rotzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kruvim would face each other. When they weren't doing the Rotzon Hashem, they would miraculously turn around and face the wall. That's how he explains it. According to the other Mandom who said they were facing the wall, what's he going to do with the Pasuk of Ish El Achiv? Hoksiv Pneim Ish El Achiv. Answers the Gemara, the Metzadiah stood, they were sort of in a slant. Okay, Poseidon. But what emerges from the Mandom who says Pneim Ish El Achiv, they were facing each other, what emerges is what's perhaps quite well known, that when they were doing the Rotzon of Hashem, they were facing each other. But when they weren't, they were facing away from the wall. Now, with that introduction, we are going to have a bit of a problem. Because there is a Gemara in Yuma. Take a look at paragraph B. This is 3b. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet on Bay, says the following. Omer Reish Lakish. Beshar Shenichnasu Nachrim Lehechal. At the time of the Churban. Ra'u Kruvim Hamu'urin Zebezed. The Gentiles came in to the Beis HaMikdash. And they saw the Kruvim Mu'urin Zebezed, sort of attached to each other. They were so surprised. They come into the Kodesh Kedoshim, the holiest place in the Jewish world, and they see the two sort of statues embracing. This Jewish people, whose blessings are blessings and whose curses are curses, i.e. they're a holy, real people. They should be involved in these sort of statues. Is that appropriate? Miyad hizilum, they debased them and they destroyed them. That's what the Gemara in Yuma says. The difficulty is, we're talking about at the time of Churban. According to the above Gemara in Bava Basra, when Klal Yisrael are not doing the Rotzon of Hashem, they're not facing each other. They're facing the bias. They're facing away from each other. So how come B'Shas Churban, when the Gentiles came into the Kodesh Kedoshim, they saw the Kruvim embracing one another? They should have been facing away from each other. It doesn't fit into the Gemara in Bava Basra. Now that is a kasha that the Rishonim ask. Take a look at paragraph C. This is the Ritva asks, but it's b'shem the Rimigash. V'hiksha harav ibn migash. Me'ahid amrinim b'yumanim daladon beis. K'shenichn sugoyim lehechol, when the Gentiles came into the hechol, roa kruvim shoyim u'urim zeh bezeh, they saw that the kruvim were embracing each other. Omru umma zusha kalosim klala brochim gorchim is asking b'dvarim, how can they be engaged in this sort of activity? V'hoba isa shaloa isa rishon shalmakam. But that's a time of Churban when they weren't doing the Rotzon Hashem. Our question. V'tiritzri, the Ri Migash answers, Kineis na'as Elohem l'ra'ah. No, this was a miracle. Really, it was Shelo'i Asu Rotzon. They weren't doing the Rotzon Hashem. And therefore, they were, for all the years previously, they were facing away from each other. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle l'ra'ah to show up Klal Yisrael, as it were. That when the Gentiles would come in, they're saying, really, that's what the Jewish people do? To sort of, as part of their punishment, they were doing a miracle l'ra'a to show to show up the Jewish people at this point in time. That's how the Ri Migash answers it. The who is it? The Chido, I think. It has difficulty with this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle l'ra'a. Miracles are l'tayv. Anyway, be that as it may. The Li Nira, the Ritva gives an alternative answer. No, we're misunderstanding the Gemara in Yuma. The truth is, the Gemara in Bava Basra is, of course, correct. When they are doing the Rotzon Hashem, they're facing each other. When they're not doing the Rotzon Hashem, they're facing away from each other. Aye, the Gemara in Yuma says they were embracing B'Shas HaChurban. Says the Ritva in his answer, that Hahi Bekruvim de Tzurasa Bekaisel. What was the wallpaper in the Kodesh Kedoshim? You ever thought about that? What interior designer did they have? The answer is, they were pictures of Kruvim and they were over the walls. So the Kruvim that we're referring to were the Kruvim on the walls, the tapestries on the walls, the wallpaper as it were. And that, of course, we're gonna make sure the Kruvim are embracing each other. And that's what he says. That's what it means. They peeled them off the wall, these tapestries, and they brought them out. Not that they brought the Kruvim on the Aron HaKodesh out. That, says the Ritva, is Pshat in the Gemara in Yuma. And it's actually very meduk. And the Ritva Lemaisa says this. That Rashi, when he says, V'hitziyum lashuk, look what Rashi says. Kiplum min HaKosel. They pulled them off the wall. So far, we have two answers to our question. What's our question? The Gemara in Bava Basra says that to resolve the stira of Pneim Labayas and Pneim Ishal Ochiv, that according to that Mandom who says Pneim Ishal Ochiv, it depends whether they were doing the Rotzon Hashem. When they were doing the Rotzon Hashem, they were embracing. They weren't doing the Rotzon Hashem, they were facing away from each other. If that's the case, how come the Gemara in Yuma says that B'Shas Churban, the Goyim came in, and they saw the Kruvim Ma'urin Zebazet embracing one another? It was a time of Leosu Rotzon Shalmakim. So why were they embracing? Two answers. The Reed Midrash says, special miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to show up Klal Yisrael, that they would say, what are the Jewish people doing? Yasku b'dvarim halal. Fine. The second answer says, the Ritva is, it's referring to the tapestries on the back wall of the Kodesh Kedoshim, not the actual Kruvim themselves. That's what they were. Those tapestries showed the Kruvim embracing, but not the actual, but the actual Kruvim on the Aron were indeed facing away from each other. Good. Two answers of the Rishonim, the Reed Midrash and the Ritva. Now, let me share with you a third answer. And this is just astonishing. This is the Bnei Yisoscha, quoting Harav HaKadosh Mareinu Harav Pinchas Mikoretz. Rav Pinchas of Koretz, he was one of the legendary Hasidic masters. He died in 1791, so one of the very early ones. And he was a descendant of the Megale Amukus, and the Bnei Yisoscha is quoting him. Harav Pinchas Mikoretz, that Zeich Sadat HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Al Hodo Amru Chazal. Now listen to this. This is just astonishing. But this is the Bnei Yisoscha in Mamari Chedesh Tammuz. I've got the Mari Mekomis there. This is it. The Yerushalmi says in Brachas, Betisha B'av Noilad Ben David. Maybe you're familiar with this Gemara, that this Chazal, this Gemara in Yerushalmi, that Ben David, Moshiach, is born on Tisha B'av. What's that about? Hatamhu, the reason is, says the Bnei Yisoscha, Lyos Nishmas Moshiach Ben David, that the soul of Moshiach ben David, he neshama hayoyse gevoya v'koyleles. It will be a very expansive, lofty soul. V'im kein srichin li'leidas zois haneshama zivuk hayoyse elyon. Therefore, to create this soul, it needs a particularly holy union. V'hinei, next paragraph. Nuchul l'hispoinin b'inyon avas gashmis ba'il mazeh. Ki'in avas chaverim v'ish imishtoi. He says, think about another relationship. Think about a relationship that between friends, between a man and his wife. B'yosem b'yachad, when friends or husband and wife are spending time with each other, lo sukkah kol kach ha'ava. Life just has daily routines. It's a bit of a grind. You know, there you got to, have you called the plumber? We need to do this. Have you made the Tesco order yet? Whatever it may be. That's life. Mashenkin kishiritzin liparit v'laharchik. Nodded Lizman Rav, but when one of them is traveling away, you know, once they're going to go away for many weeks or whatever it is, Oz Yispalu Hanafoshes Biava Yisera Ava Aza Migoidel Hagaguin. Then, in anticipation of this sort of absence, that each one is going their own way for a period of time, you know, as the saying goes in English, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So, whilst daily life may be quite mundane, but when people are going separate ways, there are gaguim, there are feelings of longing, of love for each other. They're going to part ways for a period of time. Valkain, for example, therefore he says, Chayv Adam Lifkoit B'Shashi Yis L'Derech. The Gemara in Yevam Samach Beis, brought in Shulchan Aruch, says that husband and wife have obligations to be intimate when they're going on journeys, they're going away from each other. Vim kain tispoinin l'fizeh, to b'shas ha-pirud ozu ha-zivug b'yav yaseir b'yaseh, that when couples are sort of parting ways, the feelings of longings for the couple to each other are going to be heightened. Or mikri zivuk hayoyse elyon, v'noilad mizeh haneshama hayoyse elyona. And because the couple felt sort of so close to each other, that is going to produce a child with a neshama of yoyse elyona, more lofty, a lofty soul. Al kain liyoyz b'avonoseinu harab ma'pirud bein hadveikim, Nase B'Tishabov. And therefore, to create a neshama like Moshiach needs to have, it needs to come at a time when the union is intensely close. Mikri B'Avonoseinu Rabbim Yom Yitzir HaDerech. Therefore, it's called Yom Yitzir HaDerech. Noled Mizeh HaVizivug Moshiach Neshama Yos Elyonu V'Kuleles Hovein. In other words, what he's saying is something astonishing. That Tishabov, of course, is a terribly sad day. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael are sort of taking leave of each other. Klal Yisrael are being exiled from their land, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of moving away from us. But at the very time when there is that period, That's what creates the gaguim, the longing for each other. In other words, in the period building up to that, life wasn't so great. There was a bit of a breakdown in the relationship. It was a bit mundane, etc. That was Churban. But when push came to shove, actually on Tisha B'Av, when the separation happens, there are feelings of gaguim between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Now, look at this, last paragraph. Val pizes tisponim, and on based on this, you can contemplate. Mashashamati shehukshu tamidei harav hakodesh marina harav doiv ber. I think that's the Maggid of Mezrich. That when the students of the Maggid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Besht, of the Baal Shem Tov, asked their Rebbe, al hod da amru chazal, our question. The Gemara says in Yuma Nundalad, shemotzu ha'ovim b'yom ahu es hakruvim kemoiro ish. They're like an attachment of two people. The Gemara in Yuma says, when they came into the Beit Kodesh Kedoshim, they saw the kruvim embracing. Halei amru chazal, but the Gemara says in Mabasrus, shezed lo ha'irak bizman sheisrael isen rishen shamakam. Our question. Surely they should have seen the Kruvim facing away from each other. And the Maggid of Mezrich answers his students, and he said, that answers our question. Dafka Bishas Pirut, that's when there is this sudden realization that they're parting ways, that creates the longing, and at that moment the Kruvim embrace once again. Astonishing. So in other words, leading up to that point, I don't know how long for many months, years even, Klal Yisrael were not doing the Ratzon Hashem. So the Kruvim, we're talking about the Kruvim on the Aron itself, they were indeed facing away. But actually at that moment when the Gentiles came into the Kodesh Kedoshim, that is a time where suddenly there's an understanding that we're parting ways. We're going to be exiled. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is moving away from us. And that creates that longing. Just for that moment in time, there's the embrace between the Kruvim, because there's that feeling of closeness between our Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So that's a third mahalach to answer this question. So three very, very interesting ideas on Parshas Truma. Number one, why did Yaakov Avinu see the need to actually bring the Arozin down to Mitzrayim? The Gemara in Yuma said they could buy food from the locals. Why couldn't they buy the wood for the locals? The answer is Lilishmi, that everything about the mission has got to be done with the best of intentions. Then we explained from the Meshei Mishmuel the idea of the Medrash that the Arozin were only created Bishvul HaMishkan and Bishvul Beis HaMikdash. And the understanding is, says the Meshei Mishmuel, that the middah of the Erez, that tenacity, that stubbornness, should only be used for matters of ruchni, for matters of spiritual. And then this idea of the kruvim. According to the Gemara in Bambasra, according to that opinion, when they were doing the Ratzon Hashem, they were facing. When they weren't doing the Ratzon Hashem, they were facing away from each other. Pneim el abayis. Yet the Gemara in Yuma says, b'shas churban, they were embracing. They came in and they saw them embracing. How do you explain that? Three answers. The Rimigash, that it was a neis l'ra'a. The Ritva says that it's talking about the tzuris on the back wall of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and according to this astonishing Bnei Yisoschar, that absence makes the harp grow fonder. And at the moment in time when there's going to be a separation to Klal Yisrael, that itself creates the gaguim, and therefore at that moment in time they actually embrace, even though the years or months or whatever it was till then, that they were actually facing away from each other. So very, very interesting insights for Parshas Truma.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.